From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, the making of Listen Up Philip with Jason Schwartzman. But first, DNA testing has begun on more than 4,100 rape kits in Dallas cases going back to the 90s. It's because of a state grant to pay for testing on the massive backlog. Texas law says authorities can prosecute cases as far back as September 1996 if there's DNA evidence. All new sexual assault kits must be tested within 30 days by law. It's been that way since 2011, but testing of old kits had to wait for funding. Now to the race for Texas governor. Education spending is among the most important points of contention.
My plan calls for investing in making sure that every four-year-old in this state has access to quality full-day pre-K, that we pay our teachers more in line with national average.
That's Wendy Davis during the September 30th debate at KERA. Greg Abbott believes districts should have more control over their spending.
Before we talk about the dollar amount, we need to talk about what we are providing for the students in the classroom.
As part of KERA's American Graduate Initiative, we visited two high schools in North Texas and showed the debate to students. When education spending came up, they had strong reactions to share with producer Diana Douglas.
Rebecca Trissel, a senior at Aubrey High School in rural Denton County, did not like hearing that Texas spends thousands less per student than most other states. She feels like that money could help her school.
We'll walk in a bathroom of four stalls. Only two of them have working locks. They can't even afford to put locks on the doors, but we can afford to re-turf the football field.
Criticizing the athletics department might seem like a cheap shot, but she wasn't the only one concerned about how money was allocated when it comes to the football team versus bathrooms.
There are the holes in the walls. I mean, when there's a hole in the wall, people tend to like to play with it and make it even bigger. If you filled it up, people would stop making holes.
Sophomore Sean Collins wasn't finished.
The instruments in the bands, the slides don't even like move, so it makes us sound worse.
Aubrey High School is actually a beautiful campus with modern facilities, but griping about school is the teenager's birthright. At Polytechnic High School in Fort Worth, the students didn't see the football team as taking money from academics, but felt a sense of scarcity in all areas of their educational environment. Here's senior Ashley Black.
We get the same books every single year, and half of them don't even have the pages in it. Like, she's like, turn to page 84 if your book even has page 84.
These schools couldn't be more different demographically. Aubrey students are mostly white and above the state's average for college readiness. Poly is in a poor minority neighborhood, and the students test below average for college readiness. The students at Poly were much more concerned, for example, about pre-K programs.
My baby brother, he didn't get to go to pre-kinder because there were so many kids trying to get in, and like now he's behind.
Kiana Benson is a sophomore. Some of these students have to babysit nieces, nephews, or younger siblings for hours every day. So pre-K helps them and the little ones. Students at both schools hoped that the state could pay their teachers better salaries.
I agree with Wendy. I mean, I do think teachers do deserve a little bit more change because it's hard, and I do feel what they're doing is very beneficial.
Sophomore Joseph Agua at Poly. The average teacher salary in the U.S. is $56,000. In Texas, it's $48,000, according to the National Center for Education Statistics. Caitlin Brewer, a senior at Aubrey, wants that gap closed.
As a student, I love whenever I can see a teacher that is enthusiastic and believes in what they're teaching, rather than just having, you know, a coach sit at a desk and say, read the chapter, here's your test.
Even with a wide variety of opinions from students at the two high schools, there was unanimous agreement on one thing. Everyone wants different food in the school cafeteria. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
And Listen Up, Philip, Jason Schwartzman is a novelist who uses his professional struggles as an excuse to alienate everyone in his personal life. The film was developed by North Texas production company Sailor Bear. Our big screen team talks to one of its principals about what it took to make the movie.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, movie critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And our guest today is James Johnston, one of the principals of Sailor Bear. James, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So there's no really other way to say it, but Philip in the title is pretty much a self-centered jerk. Let's listen to a conversation he has with an ex-girlfriend he meets for lunch.
Is that the new book?
Yeah. Wasn't sure you noticed or heard. I'm just getting ready. Things are gonna be pretty crazy for me after the release. In fact, this might be the last time I'm home for more than a week at a time for the next 8 or possibly 9 months. Actually, yeah, definitely. It's just busy. Los Angeles in January, San Francisco, Powell's in Portland, a whole West Coast thing, really. I'm told to expect big things out there.
You sound like you're bragging.
That's because I am bragging.
So, do we have him pegged?
Yeah. I mean, that opening scene tells you everything you pretty much need to know about Philip.
What kind of challenges are inherent to making a film about a guy who we all admit is kind of a jerk?
Well, the biggest challenge is casting, because if you cast the wrong person, then it can become very one-dimensional. And that's why we were so lucky to get Jason Schwartzman in the lead, because just automatically, you know, the audience has an expectations of who he is, and that mm-hmm. just fills in so many blanks right off the bat. Casting is 90% of the victory of any film.
So how much Philip Roth is there in this movie between the young character of Philip and then his older mentor played by Jonathan Pryce?
Well, I mean, Philip, obviously for Philip Roth, for a lot of reasons, is a huge influence. And Alex has never met him in person, doesn't know him in person, but reading all of his books and interviews and things like that was a clear inspiration and not anything that Alex ever wanted to hide from. So
and this is the writer and director,
Alex Roth. Yeah. So he just went for it and was like, I'm just going to name the character Philip and just go for it. And, yeah. You know, if you look at all the book covers, you know, it's all there. So, yeah.
It's in the font.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I want to read you a little excerpt from Manola Dargis's New York Times review.
Oh, please do. It's a great, great review.
She writes, "Listen Up, Philip is itself exhilarating because for all its brutal comedy, it's a serious work about the struggle to follow your muse and be fully alive in a world shared with other people." And she later goes on to call it a masterwork. When you read a review like that in the New York Times from someone who doesn't give out a lot of raves all the time, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel amazed that I was right when I read the script the first time, because that's exactly what I saw. It's great to have it go through this entire process, the ups and downs of making a film, which is very difficult and stressful, and that all of that survived. And then for someone whose job it is to watch movies and think about movies and critique movies, to see it the way I saw it, it feels amazing.
James Johnston, thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, James.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. Listen Up, Philip opens at the Texas Theater tomorrow. Should be mostly sunny later on with a high around 80, overnight low 58, and then warmer tomorrow with a high of 85. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.